Don't think so. Not yet. These are men who have proved themselves. Their children are raised in subjection. You know, they've proved that they know how to be a man. And therefore, they are qualified. You know? Their lives are... You can't reproach them for anything. I mean, they had lust in their heart and so on and so forth, but they're not accused of rape. You know? They haven't been seeing prostitutes. You know, they are men who have been sinful, true, but not in any way which would cause public shame to come on the church. That's important. Because these men are the visible structure of the church sort of government. Deacons, bishops, you know, they're official servants of the church. Their wives also have to be, and this goes for a bishop's wife, you know, she's got to be also exemplary. Sober, you know, a drunk wife or not, you know, mindful of things. Faithful in all things. In all things, faithful. The deacons be ruling children their own houses well. Let them that use the office of deacon well. A good degree. A degree is a step, a grade of dignity in a figurative sense. It's a good step. It is a honorable position. You know, it's a deacon, an official position, and what the qualifications are. The high, look at this. I mean, consider, do people apply these, when they have deacons in churches, do they apply these standards to people who are executing the offices of deacons? Handling the money, so to speak, because that's what the distribution is all about. Handling the money, handling the things. I mean, they're this church servants. This is a high standard. Great boldness in the faith which is in Christ Jesus. That's the thing, is you are officially up there. You know, you have boldness now. You get to speak plainly of the things of Christ. And you need to be able to do that freely, especially from that position. So these are kind of serious matters. Verse 14, these things I write unto you, hoping to come to thee shortly, but if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. You know, he wants to come see him. And he says, but he's writing this because he's like, I want, you know, to give you a little talk here, how you ought to behave yourself in the house of God. How you ought to judge things and the people who are in charge. Which is the church of the living God? The house of God, which is the church of the living God. That is the house of God. It's not the building that's the house of God. It's the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. As referring to the church as the pillar and ground of the truth. Does the truth stand on the church? Well, inasmuch as the church is true, and it is the body of Christ, and it stands in truth in Christ, because he is the foundation thereof. Ground is really the support, the basis. It comes from the root. It's the idea of where the truth sits. The truth is sitting in the church. It is in the church. The church, you know, imagine like you have a base. And a pillar. Right? And the truth is standing on that. That's why it is important for our leadership to be so scrupulously chosen. And these are the qualifications. They have to be scrupulously chosen. And in many cases, I think these days, yeah, you know, these church standards might be so high, who can qualify? But this is how the Apostle Paul looked at it. Think about that. How much do people put up with from their pastors today? Now you think about all the public reproach that came upon certain ministers. And some of them are still in the ministry. still doing the office of a bishop. Think of like Jimmy Swaggart, right? Yeah, you know, it's like, well, I don't think the guy should be not forgiven ever, even though his heresy is unforgivable, as long as he walks in it. But, you know, the sins he had done with the stripper and all that, you know, I mean, that disqualifies you from leadership as far as I'm concerned. You're disqualified. Public reproach. Look what you've done. You can never be a bishop or a deacon again. Doesn't mean you can't be healed into the church, but you can't take those offices anymore. It's not right. I mean, let the world see the forgiveness of the church, but whatever. I mean, the thing is, these churches are so filled with sin. It's sort of a joke to even talk about bishops and deacons when it comes to modern, you know, mainline Christianity and even the fringes thereof. It's a joke because it's so filled with sin. It's like, and they don't even care. Who can be perfect? They don't believe anyone can. So why hold your leaders to that standard either? Why hold leaders to this standard? This is impossible. As far as they're concerned. But in Christ, it is not. It is required. Verse 16. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached to the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. He was justified in the spirit, and that God rose him from the dead. You know, manifest in the flesh, and the Son of God. This is the mystery of godliness. This is what creates godliness in the believer, was the coming of Christ. The body of Christ is everything. Remember in Colossians, you know, all those things of the law were a shadow of things to come. But the body of Christ, his manifestation in the flesh, and then us in the mystery being gathered together in one body. By the preaching of the word, believed on by the gospel and the world, received up into glory. Mystery of godliness. As far as I'm concerned, this leads into the next chapter quite well, because godliness is the focus of Christianity, that we should live godly lives. Not in order to please God, it's because it is pleasing to God, and because that is what he has given us that we could do, because that is the good news preached to us, the good news that we can live. We could actually fulfill these qualifications to be a bishop because God would do the works in us.